Welcome back to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt. We're brought to you by the California 1020, 10 miles, 20 bands, February 15, 2015, Del Mar Fairgrounds, Encinitas, and back. That's cal1020.com. By Core Sports, the very best in women's athletic wear. That's coresports.com. You can check out any of our interviews on iTunes on Babbittville Radio. Our next guest, one of our favorite people on the planet, always in a great mood. And even though it's early in the morning, Heather Jackson coming off a third place at Ironman Arizona, and she's a three-time Wildflower champion. How you doing, Heather?
Good. How are you, Bob?
It's been way too long.
I know. Seriously. I was bummed to miss you in Coda this year, but...
Yeah. Well, and I, you know, it's so funny because we talked early in the year, and you'd come off winning Wildflower third year in a row. I think the plan was go to Coeur d'Alene, get that Ironman, that Kona spot locked down, and then basically you were dealing with injuries, it sounds like, for a lot of the season.
Yeah, it was a bummer of a year for me. But
so what happened? What was it after Wildflower?
Yeah, it was basically a day or two before we were supposed to drive down to Alcatraz.
Yeah.
So about 3 weeks out, and Alcatraz was going to be just, you know, go, and I love that race.
Well, you're champion there, too, 2013, yeah.
Kind of a last little short effort and start the taper for Coeur d'Alene, and yes, but basically, we still don't know if it was just running form or during one of my trail runs, I kind of fell back on my tailbone and got up and had some pain, and at the end of the run, I could barely run, and the day before we were going to leave, I went in, and it showed us a small stress fracture.
Like down in your, down by your ankle?
What was your stress? Sorry, my it was my sacrum.
Oh, so when you fell, you basically got your stress fracture up there.
Yeah, basically my tailbone area.
Oh. Yeah, so that throws your whole body off.
Yeah, exactly.
So knowing the type of athlete you are, when you're a hockey player, it's like you get out there and you work, right? And this is one of those things where work isn't really going to help. It's rest.
And, exactly.
And I'm guessing that was a little tough for you.
It was so bad. I went into shock for probably a week or two. It was just, why is this happening to me?
Right.
Just so down. I mean, it's so crazy. You can go, I was feeling great. Like, I was so excited for Coeur d'Alene, and you're on top of the world, and then all of a sudden it's taken from you.
Right. Well, and especially if you look at your progression where you'd gone, I mean, 2013, what, Escape from Alcatraz, 70.3 Oceanside, Wildflower. I mean, you were on a roll, rolling in the 14, and then you do, you know, like everything was going well.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Training up in Bend, and so it's like, okay, here's the progression. And also, you've been in Kona working the leaderboard, so it's funny because we've seen that before where people who end up becoming champions get that opportunity to watch the front of the race and see how it works. So you had checked all the boxes. Everything was there, and then you get this freaking injury. And so how did you, was it, okay, I'll just get in the pool for a while, or how do you make a positive out of a really crappy situation like that?
Yeah, it was, I kind of just, those first couple weeks were definitely rough, and I was fortunate to have, his name's Jay Dicari,
uh-huh.
I don't know how he says it, up in Bend. Lindsey Corbin worked with him before Kona, Jesse Thomas, he's amazing, and so to have his support in Bend, just every day giving me something to do and something to focus on, that was huge for me to get through those first few weeks.
Is he a therapist, a psychologist?
He's a physical therapist at Rebound in Bend. I had just amazing, you know, medical support up there as well. Dr. Peter Levitt, who's also my regular doctor. But just to have the support up there was huge for me, and just take it week by week was kind of how I got through it. And so I just, for 3 weeks, I basically swam. And so I had Matt Lieto, Jesse Thomas, a couple other guys at the pool. Every day I would be there, 7 a.m. with them. And then I would go back again at 3 p.m. for another, like, hour or two.
Wait. You're becoming like a double swim session, 10,000 meters a day gal?
It was all I could do, and it was all, like, Yeah, when it becomes the only thing you can do, it was like, okay, let's turn this into a positive.
Right. Well, and actually, if there's, you know, this, you need to swim better, right? That's really what it comes down to. Great cyclist, great runner. Swim is always going to, has been an issue.
Exactly.
So did you feel like you were improving from doing all that swimming?
I definitely feel way more comfortable in the water now from that block. It's funny though, like when you introduce the other two sports back in, how quickly your swimming can be affected.
Right.
I was swimming so well, like, yeah, I'm finally getting this. And then after 3 weeks, I was able to ride again. So then it just turned into 2 weeks of Wadi and I put in, I think, 200-something-mile week.
Wow.
Just longer, getting the base, trying to figure out where I would be at in the next, in July and August, of could I get a full in to maybe validate for Kona.
Right.
It was pushing that time limit, because by now I was end of June, so.
You missed, Coeur d'Alene was definitely out. And so was there something else you're thinking about? I mean, the hard part is that when you start getting in July and August, if you do get it, you're going to be running two marathons within 10 weeks or so.
Exactly. It was so tough. It was one of those, I signed up for every one, so I would hit the registration mark just being optimistic. I was actually, I had the support, obviously, of Wadi and Cliff just talking me through, okay, let's be smart about this. But then also, like, I had been emailing with Heather Fear back and forth about every race. Like, maybe I could be there, Heather. Can I please register? And she was actually a great source of help as well in kind of my final decision, because I had thought maybe I could be on the start line for the full Mont Tremblant.
Yeah.
Since it was a big points one, and, you know, just to have advice from her, obviously, as an amazing athlete. She had been there and said, just, it's not worth forcing it. It's not worth getting an injury again.
Exactly. I mean, you think about it, when you get an injury, you're predisposed to get it again. So the last thing you want to do is push it. And, you know, the reality is that, say you did get the Kona, I'm doubting that you would have had your best Kona.
Exactly. It was too much, and it was just that harsh reality. It wasn't going to happen. And finally just let it go. I think it was early August. And, okay, now what can we do? And that's when it became, okay, it's out for this year, Kona 2015. So what can we do to get there?
Right. And that's when Arizona came into the picture.
Yeah, just picking that one of the late season ones. And then I was able to get to the start line in Tremblant 70.3, which was cool. Just to be there and be back and get to do a race. And, I mean, that place is beautiful. It was, yeah. So got to do that. And then I got to return to my alma mater and race Princeton. It was really cool.
How fun was that?
Yeah, it was awesome. My hockey coach came out, and he was there at the finish line.
Now, has he seen you race before?
No, he hadn't.
Wow. That's pretty fun. Were any of your former hockey teammates live in that area? They come out?
No former teammates, but the day after, Wadi, I went over to the rink and talked to the girls and met the team for this year. And
how fun.
So it was cool, yeah. I hadn't been back since graduation.
Did it seem like a different life?
Yeah.
I mean, here you are. They're probably looking at you going, this skinny girl did not play freaking hockey. There's no way that she weighed 40 pounds more when she played.
Exactly. I was standing there thinking to myself, whoa, if I'm in their position, I'm doing the same, looking at this girl like, what? What do you do?
You do what? And you played this?
Yeah.
Like, they're probably going, sizing you up, going, oh, I would like to take her into the boards. they just destroy you. So, I mean, seriously, when you look at that, did it surprise you that, man, I used to do this? I used to go out there and do it. Did it almost look like something you couldn't recognize?
Yeah, it was weird. It's a whole different life now, and it doesn't seem that long ago, but it's crazy how the years go.
Right. Well, I mean, really, you're when you first got into triathlon, what, 07 or something?
Yeah, exactly.
So 07. So we're talking, 7 years that you've been in the sport. And look at everything that's happened. So is there a point, because obviously you were disappointed, and going back to Kona this year, the year before you went, and it was really a fact-finding mission. This year you're going, this year you were hoping to going in racing. Was it harder to go this year?
It was, you know, I didn't do the leaderboard this year. I didn't want to be out there. It was,
right.
It ended up being, it was completely different than any other time we had gone to Kona, because usually I'm in my off season, I'm enjoying it, and I get to,
right,
you know, check out the race and learn. And then this year it was full, like, I was just keeping my mind on Arizona, and I ended up having, I think we were there for 10 or 11 days, like an amazing block over there, just fully immersed in the training, got used to the wind, which actually ended up helping on Arizona.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I just kept thinking, whoa, this isn't even as bad as Javi. I think I rode the course in Kona 5 times while we were there.
Yeah.
Just it was a full, mainly bike heavy, since he had that to ride. But it was a good block for me.
Then you probably swam out in the course a few times.
Yep, swam the course, exactly. Ran the Elite Drive section a few times,
yep.
And then one of the long runs started in town and ran out to the Energy Lab and back. So I got every section covered and really checked it out and got some good training for Arizona.
Well, the nice thing is the fact that you were in the middle of training. It was almost like it was a Kona week where you're going over there you're doing a training camp on the course for next year. But you were doing it when you're really fit, rather than coming over at the end of the season and sort of going out for a few bike rides and runs. You were really, you're in the midst of training. So you really get a sense of that course as somebody who's getting ready to race it.
Exactly. No, totally. It was exactly. I felt like I learned a lot having that chance. I mean, the 5 times I rode it, each day was so different in terms of where the winds were, or where it hit you. Or it was crazy.
Yeah.
So
when I look at Arizona, and one of the things about that course that I think that's one of the tougher swims from the perspective of it's not salt water, right? It's like that. If you're not a really, really good swimmer, you feel like you're a submarine in that water,
yeah.
Even with a wetsuit on. I don't know if pros feel that way, but I certainly did. A couple times I've been out there just swimming in that water. I'm going, man, I don't know what the deal is, but a lot of times when you swim in a lake and it's not, you know, you don't have salt, and even though you got a wetsuit on, you just feel like it's slow, right? Is that the way it felt for you?
Yeah, it definitely felt slow, and again, as always, like, we have a plan of who to line up next to, or
yeah,
the swim, an idea of the swim, and within 20 seconds, I was alone again. The biggest thing for me is, like, you couldn't see anything.
Nothing.
It was like, I hope I'm going. I could see a splash up ahead, which was obviously the lead with Amanda and Meredith and
right,
Katie up ahead. And I could see them for a bit to try to head in that direction, but it was still kind of dark. The course kind of curves a little bit to the left. So
yep,
the first quarter of the race, you're just hoping you're heading towards the right area.
Yeah, you need a light night light. And then there's some glare out there, too, that I always found to be a little bit of a pain in the butt.
Yeah.
So you come out of the water, what, almost 7 minutes back?
I heard 8 something.
Oh, 8 something. Wow.
I think I made some up in the transition.
Okay. So
then you
rode well.
Yeah, the ride, I felt awesome. I was really happy with the ride. Just made sure I did not go out too hard.
Right.
That was the main goal.
Right. And so when you came off the bike I think you were second off the bike, did you feel that, okay, now, did you feel good in the run early on? Because, again, your training had been compromised with the injury. How did your body handle the run?
Yeah, no, I felt great on the run. I'm so ecstatic with third.
Yeah.
For sure. It was a little frustrating. I felt amazing. I got off and I'm like, wow, like, I'm ready. And it took maybe half a mile, my legs came around and I was ready. And it was, yeah, it just became, I had some major stomach issues. I was basically running from porter potty to porter potty the whole run.
I was wondering about that because I saw, you know, Heather, Lisa caught you, and you know you end up like 9:08, which is still great considering what you're. I bet you're thinking it's just so good to be racing after all the crap you dealt with the injuries.
Yeah, there were so many positives. Just the whole run. It's like you get to be out here. Just this is going on right now, but you're here, and it was. Yeah, I don't know what. If I got something in the water or something, but it was bad.
Yeah, that's not the most pristine water, by the way.
Yeah,
you might have noticed that. So, is this? Will you be going for the 4-peat at Wildflower?
Yeah, exactly. I'm trying to figure out my tentative schedule. I know I'll have to do another one for sure for points.
I was going to say, will you have to do another full?
Yeah, I will. So just to be safe,
sure.
Obviously. But also, yeah, I think I will. So just trying to figure out, which full where I can still hit those races that I love. So there's obviously the two big ones early on, Africa and Melbourne.
Yeah.
That would be cool. But then I would have to miss Oceanside,
right?
Which I don't want to miss. And then Wildflower, I will be back. So
yes,
trying to figure something out there. I'm contemplating Texas.
There you go.
But it's non-wet.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You don't want that. Well, how about is Coeur d'Alene make sense or not really?
Coeur d'Alene, yeah. Coeur d'Alene, that was the other one I was kind of looking at. Maybe Coeur d'Alene or Frankfurt.
Right.
Around there. So those are kind of...
Oh, those are all good options.
So, yeah, that's... The next couple weeks, we'll be trying to plan that out and... Get that down on paper.
So what is it about Wildflower? I mean, it's funny because I grew up with Wildflower, and it was one of those races that just, it was Wildflower, it was Ironman, it was St. Croix. Those are sort of legendary races. But I think a lot of people coming into the sport now might not even know about Wildflower.
I know.
Don't you find that? It's funny to me. You mention Wildflower to people, and they're going, Wild what? And you're like, oh, my God, I cannot believe you don't know about Wildflower. It's like knowing about Alcatraz or something.
I know, exactly. I mean, for me, it's my favorite race out there. It's so fun. And every year there's, that slight, pause. Okay, maybe I should go do St. George.
Right.
Quadruple the prize money. It's points. It's all that stuff. And then most girls are heading there, obviously, with
sure.
that sort of prize money. But I just know that I would be there and just be wishing I was at Wildflower.
Right. Well, especially, I think Donna Peters won that race 3 times. Paula won it 3 times. I don't know if any woman's won it 4 times.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
So,
go for that.
That's not bad to be in a, in a club of one. That's sort of a nice thing to do. So what is it about Wildflower that you like so much?
I think it's just the environment, the atmosphere. It's, everyone just seems a little bit more laid back, and it's just out there enjoying being outside, being camping, being kind of all in one area versus, everyone spread out at different hotels. And it's more just like a weekend of everyone hanging out. And then, there are, 3 or 4 races. You've got the short course, the mountain bike, and everyone can participate. Everyone can be involved. Everyone brings their kids. You have events to do and can run around, and it just kind of feels like I grew up in New Hampshire. My parents would take us camping for weeks during the summer, and it's like you're back being a kid just out camping and being outside. And it's just that environment of having fun and being more laid back, and an amazing course and just great people running it, and it's just fun.
Well, the other thing that it's interesting, I like how they make lemonade. I mean, last year, okay, there's no water in the lake. All right, well, let's see. We'll move down here and basically make this into a quadrathlon. You're going to swim, and then you're going to run a mile and a half, 2 miles to the transition. Then you're going to ride. Then you're going to run again. And it just sort of, it works. When it's Wildflower, it's like, okay, that's what it should be, right? Now it's different, but it's still cool.
Yeah, exactly. I thought it was cool. It was definitely, it was obviously totally different, but it was fine. It's like, if a swim gets canceled or races shift or something, people get all up in arms and really distraught. But I don't even think people did at Wildflower. It was just like, okay, cool. Now this is what we have to do. And it was like an adventure race.
Right.
There was a shift, but it wasn't like, okay, we need to be all like, oh, this, you know, angry or whatever the emotion. But it was like, oh, cool. Check it out. I mean, the first transition run was pretty cool.
Yes. Yeah, pretty. Yeah, I liked what it brought to the table. Obviously, you'd like to have water in the lake, and maybe we have a really rainy winter. That'll happen. But if not, they've got something that a template that definitely works. So your season is a little bit up in the air, but the goal obviously is to get to Kona. You raced there as an age grouper back in the day.
Yep.
And got to come across that finish line and be called an Ironman. And now you know finishing third in Arizona. Really, your first pro triathlon, first pro Ironman, correct?
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
And that experience and coming across the line as a pro and finishing third. I'm sure there's some during the season you start to question, even though you're doing the training. There's nothing like racing to know where you're at. So coming out of that race, you feel a lot more confident.
Yeah, totally. Yes, I feel way better just getting that one done. And the swim, I mean, I can always work on the swim, but
right.
It didn't feel as long as I was fearing. The bike felt great. I was prepared. Cliff had me ready to go, and it felt short almost.
Wow, that's good.
Which was great. And then I can do so much better on the run. I was ready, and he had me there ready to go, and it was just,
when you have stomach issues, there's not much you can do about it. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm just excited. I mean, I'm going into the off season just, ready to go, like fired up for doing better. So.
Love it. Hey, Heather, thanks so much for taking some time. Congratulations on everything you're doing. I'm ecstatic to hopefully see you on the starting line at Kona next year. I think that you bring another element to the table where, you know, you might be coming out of the water with someone like Miranda, and then who knows what's going to happen from there. That'd be adding a new person to the game makes that race even better all the time.
Oh, thanks, Bob. Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure. Heather Jackson has been our guest again. This is Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt. We're brought to you by the California 1020 10 miles, 20 bands on February 15th. Del Mar Fairgrounds, Encinitas, and back. Cal1020.com, Core Sports, the very best in women's athletic wear. And you can check out any of our interviews at Babbittville Radio on iTunes. Hold on, everyone. We will be right back.